We just look to God because we know that he is faithful. And when we just remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the things that he's showing us to do, and we continue steadfastly practicing, then we get the great abundance. We get the blessings. And God wants us to prove him. You know, he says that. We see that through the scriptures. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because God is faithful. All the promises of God are yes in Christ and amen. They're yes and yes. He's not saying no. And we got to know our value. Like Carl Morton was talking about, knowing who we are in Christ. That's knowing your value. When you start to learn and know what Christ has done for you and who you are now, and that you are sons of God, that you are in the presence of God always, that you have power, you have authority, you have the wisdom of God, and you've got the Spirit of God dwelling in you, when you start to use that spiritual ability, you know, then nothing can stop you, you know, and then your confidence grows in your Father, knowing that the excellency of the power is not of you, but it's of God. And God is working in each and every one of us, always. He never stops working. And it's just, are we engaging our minds to the Spirit of God, to the voice of God? And we do need that time with the Father, you know. Be still and know that I am God. That's when you hear the voice. I think someone was telling me when they lay down in bed, God just starts to download loads of information to them. And it's just really great. Like when I go to my office, not the one I'm sat in now, my toilet. I just get inspired straight beyond sat in my toilet. And it's just amazing. You know, I'm not going there for anything, but I'm just thinking of the things of God. My mind is stayed on him, and he keeps me in that perfect peace. And I'm thinking, oh, I wish I brought my pad and pen. You know, and all these thoughts are going on, and then I want to finish quickly because I want to get back and write down what God's inspiring me with. So no matter where you are, God is always present with you. He's always working in you. And God was just showing me, Lawrence, you know, I am with you. You know, how much do you value yourself? Because you won't go no higher than and how you see and value yourself. And if you put a low value on your life, then that's what you'll live up to. You know, there's no ceilings with God. See, when we're moved with God, when we recognize who we are in Christ, there's no ceilings. There's no limits. God's an unlimited God. You know, we put limits on ourselves at times through our thinking, through our carnal ways, through looking at the circumstances, looking at the situations, and not realizing that our Heavenly Father has taken off the ceiling so that we can just, you know, we can just take off and fly like those jet planes and get in his jet stream and keep moving and stay in the heavenly flow. And the practices that we're doing is not like a religious thing that we're doing. You know, not like going to church. Roman Catholics like to do their rosary beads. We're not doing things like that. That's not the type of practice we're doing. God has given us all things already freely to enjoy. And the way that we receive those things into manifestation is through looking to God, is through listening to the voice of God, is through moving in the direction that God's inspiring us to move and knowing who we are. Like, you know, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. I mean, what is Jesus now? It's not as he was. It's not as he walked the earth. Look how powerful he was and amazing he was when he walked the earth. But what is he now? He's a different vehicle now, you know. He's got a new heavenly body and he can be anywhere at any time. He can do whatever. He's got all power and authority. The Father's put all power and authority in his hands. And we are as he is. So when we recognize the excellency of this power is from God and not of us, then we can really move. And we can really change situations. You know, your words will change situations. Your confession will change situations. If you don't like your circumstances, if you don't like your finances, if you don't like your health, then get saying what God says about you. Your tongue is a creative force, and whatever you speak, you are ordering. What are you ordering for your life? What have you been speaking over your life? And are you really fixed in and desiring the things to really move with God? Like my life personally, I can really talk about myself because I know me and I know my desire. And that is to really like live for God. I don't want anything else. I don't want any of the other distractions. I don't want the things in this world, really, to be honest with you. only what I need to live and move and to be free to live and move and have my being in him and to be a blessing. You know, like money's a tool. Money's not the main thing. We all need it to live. Everyone needs it to live. Whether you're a believer or not, we all need money to live. And God knows that. And he gives that to you by giving you seed to sow. So when we start to see how the things work, then we can start operating in those laws and principles of God. You know, the law of seed time and harvest. The farmer knows if he wants a crop, he needs seed. If he hasn't got any seed, he can go buy some seed off another farmer to sow in his field. And then he lives off his own seed, you know, from his own crops, from his own harvest. But he has to have a good ground to sow it in as well. And if the ground's fallow, then he needs to plow that fallow field, get rid of all the stones, all the weeds, all the things that stop the seed from growing. He gets rid of that. And that's what we're doing when we're putting on the truth of the word, when we're walking by the Spirit of God. And he's blessed us to be a blessing. No, we are actually blessed to be a blessing. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. What are the spiritual blessings? They're in the spiritual realm. So how do we get it from the spiritual realm to the physical realm? It's through our faith and practice of what God shows us to do. And when we do that with heart, and I was sharing with people about honoring God in different conversations that I've had in one-on-ones, it's got to be done from the heart. God gives us the seed to sow, right? He wants you to put it to work for you. Like a farmer would put the seeds to work for him. The seeds are no good if he keeps them in the storehouse. He needs to plant them, he needs to sow them, and then he needs to harvest them, and then he needs to keep some back for the seed, and he needs to sell some, right? So God wants us to understand these simple laws and principles that he set up for everyone to operate within. So people in the world that are not believers, they prosper because they know how to use the principles of God, even though they don't know their principles of God. Some people call it the law of attraction, or they've been taught very well from their grandfathers and fathers and mothers, and then so they get a good standard of living and then see that the things work, and then they just keep reproducing it. So you're not going to change something that works. When you know something works, you're not going to stop doing it, are you? You're going to go back to what works. And God gives us the things that are practical for our life as well as spiritual, and these things work for us, you know. So God says, you know, I've given you your portion to live, and I've given you seed to sow. That is for your prosperity and blessings. And when you put that to work, then, you know, then you'll see me multiply your seed sown. You'll see me increase the fruits of your righteousness. You'll see me cause all grace to abound towards you, and you will abound to every good work. God causes that to happen, not us. It's like we pray for laborers. When we pray with the right heart and desire, and as a need, then God can send that labor to us. When we sow our seed with the right heart, not because we've been told to do it. No, initially we've been told and encouraged. And as we begin to practice it, then we see that it works. We see that God is faithful. And then we do it from the heart. When we got to do it grudgingly, or we got to do it, well, I can't afford it, or any negative way that we sow our seed, it's because we're doing it carnally. And we're not trusting God in the process. And so it's like when we do these faith and confessions, you know, we're trusting that things are changing. We're trusting that the reality around us is changing to what we're confessing it to be. And so this faith and confession, no, works in the world for unbelievers. This fear and confession, or what their positive words that they speak in the world without God, is still framing their world. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and believe in his heart, and doubt not, he shall have whatsoever he says. So we're having what we're saying, but what are you feeding your heart with to say? God wants us to understand that he's with us, he's for us, he's not going to leave us or forsake us. And again, I was getting back to saying about, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what do you think of yourself? What value do you put in yourself? Is the image in your heart and mind of yourself what other people said about you? The negative things they've spoke about you? Or the good things they spoke about you? If we go based upon that, then we can really be limited. But if we base our thinking upon what God says we are, and the high value he's put on our life, and we come into line and agreement with God, then we really will put, we really will value ourselves. And God was just showing me this, Lawrence, how much do you think you're worth? And he'd done it in the sense of, this was going back a couple of years, he showed me this, just a minute, I need to take a step of. So he was showing me, like, how much do you think you're worth? Like, what you're doing for me, what I've got you to do, what price would you put on it? Like, you know, if we got a job, if I'm working as a labourer on a building site, there's certain wages that a labourer would get. There'd be certain wages that a bricklayer would get, a skilled person would get. There'd be certain wages that a carpenter would get, or a ground worker would get, or a roofer would get, or an electrician would get. They're all on different wages. Some are a lot higher than others, because it goes with the job that they're doing. A psychiatrist, or these people that do, you know, what do they call it? These gurus. They put a high value on what they do. And so that got me thinking, okay, what do I actually do? So what am I actually worth with what I'm doing? What am I actually doing? Okay, I'm encouraging God's people. I make the fellowship available. Anyone can make a fellowship available. I make the fellowship available. I've been steadfast, very faithful from the time I've ever done one. I look to serve God's people with all my heart and to give them the very best with what I understand and according to my understanding. I do the website, I do the editing, I do the ordering, I do all the work with inside the website, and you don't see that, or you see what the website is showing, but there's stuff behind that, and there's the editing, and that takes time, and there's the converting of files and uploading them, and downloading things, and sending links out, sending emails out, doing all the different places, right? So there's a lot of different things that I do. Then I do the wonderful, what I call the wonderful one-on-ones. I love these one-on-ones. These one-on-ones are just worth their meat and potato. This is where the true growth really can occur for each individual. See, we're all together here on the Soon Fellowship, and it's great because we're all hearing great testimonies of what God's doing in our life. That's why we're coming on here to hear words from God and to hear what God's doing in people's life. But the one-on-ones are special. This is where you can really grow. If you understand it, you know, that this is, if you was wanted to see, a psychiatrist, I don't know why I keep thinking psychiatrist. Say you want to go and see a psychiatrist for the mind, and you wanted a one-on-one with them. First of all, you'll have a consultation fee, and then you'll decide whether you want to go and continue. You'll pay a lot of money just for that consultation. You'll pay thousands of pounds for that. Or if you want to go and see a lawyer or a solicitor, or a dentist, you know, private dentist, or a private, wherever it is, there's a high value on what they do. So how much value is what you do with God? Can you see what I'm saying? How important are you as an individual believer, whether you're a full-time minister or not? Each one of you is so valuable. And what you do, God wants you to understand this so that you can rise up your standard of thinking and level of thinking and level of receiving. God really wants you to be abundantly blessed. He wants you to understand that he wants you so financially blessed in this world that you are not only taking care of yourself, but you can really help other people as God opens the doors for you, that you can really move the word. You can go wherever you want. You can invite people when you want without any problem at all. That's where God wants us to be. And it's like, I think I was sharing with Carl Morton, you know, when you get older, everyone seems to downsize to a smaller house because, all right, we're getting older, we don't need all these things. But how about upgrading? Do you think King Solomon or David would think about downgrading with all the wealth they had and the palaces and the kingdoms? They didn't downgrade. No, they upgraded. But actually, Solomon went on to build the temple for God, right? And the glorious temple it was too. So we don't downgrade. Like, that's the carnal way of thinking. You know, you get old, you retire, that's it. You've got to downgrade. You've got to get rid of all your stuff because you're not going to take it with you. No, 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 no. God wants you to have an inheritance for your children's children. You know, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children. He doesn't want us to just get by. God is not a get by God. And so he wants you to expect great things from him. He wants you to put a high value on yourself. So like I'm sitting there with God, I'm thinking, well, Lord, if a psychiatrist gets that type of wage, I looked it all up, then that's what I want. You know, I should have more because I'm your son, but you take care of it. I believe you for it. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. which is to honour you with my substance and the first fruits of all my increase. And I'm expecting, so God wants us to expect, like when we sow a seed, when you sow your honour in God, he wants you to expect a harvest, a great return. Why would you do it otherwise? Well, you know, because God said I better do it, you know. Because I'll be cursed if I don't do it. No, that was under the law. Right? God wants you to give from your heart. Whatever you're doing, when you pray for laborers, he wants you to pray from your heart. This is the point I'm getting to. When you speak in tongues, he wants you to do it from your heart. Not because the scriptures are saying it, or because somebody else has highlighted the scriptures to you that you should do it. Because it'd be a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You see it, and yeah, I really want to do this. My God wants me to do this, and I really want to do this. I don't understand everything about it, but I'm going to begin to do this. That's what God blesses. That's a cheerful giver in speaking in tongues, a cheerful giver in praying, a cheerful giver in honoring God. The connections. Well, I don't need to connect because I'm a son and daughter of God. I got the Spirit of God in me. Why do I need to connect? You know, if you want to grow, if you want to have a focus, if you want to have a direction, God will connect you where you can grow and be fed. God connects me. Everything I encourage on here to my laborers, I can 1,000,000% guarantee you I'm doing it. I've got no right to share it if I'm not doing it. And everything you're encouraged, I actually do. And I'm also being encouraged that way, right? And we've seen the great fruit that it's producing. You know, there's one guy that rings me, said, my life is so blessed. So I'm challenged, but I'm blessed. I'm up in my giving because they've seen it. God's revealed it to them. We shouldn't have to convince anyone about this because the only reason why it's being, you know, you might need reassurance in this giving is because you're not believing it in the first place. And or you trust in your finances more than you trust in the living God to supply you back with finances. No, God doesn't want you to give your finances away so you're poor again. No, he gives you the seed to sow so that he can enrich you and he can multiply it. Same when we speak in tongues, we are being edified, we are being built up, we're being made strong. We're getting spiritually on the ball more so than ever. When we put the words of the word of God in our heart and our mind and we meditate upon them and we start to confess those things, then we start to see our whole atmosphere around us change, the situations change, the lack goes away, the illnesses go away, the attacks go away, the circle changes, because darkness flees at the entrance of the light. So you'll find when you start living for God and you start speaking for God genuinely from your heart because you want to, you desire it, you want to live this way, your whole situation changes, your circle of friends changes. Because you're not going to be speaking anything outside of what the will of God is for someone, for yourself and for someone else that is going to benefit their lives. We're not going to be speaking evil when we know to speak good. We're not going to be doing evil when we know to do good, when we know it's going to be beneficial and sets other people free. So God's just been showing me many little things. There's so many little things he's been showing me lately. I'm just trying to communicate it and put it in a way to help you see that God wants you to think of yourself highly, but not like you're above anyone else, but because of who you are in Christ. That really you are as Christ. And don't put the lower limits on you. Don't live with a poverty mindset. And the poverty mindset will keep you where you are. If you think you're only worth a couple of £1,000 a month, that's what you'll live and that's what you'll get. But God says, I can really bless you so you can see what this money is all about. This money isn't about lavishing it upon yourself. It isn't about that. It's about being free to live and move and have your being in God and to be a blessing. And God wants you to shine out to the world. He wants us to stand out as an example to the world. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. So when people see the goodness of God manifested in our lives because we're walking with the Father and we're encouraging people in the right way, then you'll draw men to you because you're lifting up God and Christ in your life. You know, Jesus had a treasurer. He wasn't poor. He didn't think bad. He didn't go around. He wasn't going around with broken sandals and rags. I know John the Baptist, you know, he girded himself with a loincloth and eating milk and honey. But Jesus didn't. He had a nice robe. People knew that he was something. His clothes gave him away. Oh, this guy's a rabbi. You know, when he called John and Andrew, when they started to follow and he said, follow me, they won the lottery. Because in those days, to be picked by a Pharisee to learn the Pharisee life, it was like winning a scholarship. But Jesus called these guys, these unlearned guys, and he said, come follow me. And so they were really blessed. They knew they were onto something good, you know, and God obviously was teaching them and showing them through the life of Christ and the words of Christ. So we really are in a great place. All of us are in a very great place. We're very blessed. We're highly favored, you know, and we have to realize is that we are highly favored, that we are complete in Christ. We're absolutely completely, completely complete. There's nothing left undone. Jesus became poor so we could become rich on every single level, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, in relationships, in every department of life. We should be prospering, and we can if we understand that everything that God has made available is really available to us. And when we receive these words gladly and then practice in that way, then we will start to manifest those blessings. We got to get rid and break the traditions of what we learned before, which sounds good. Like I was sharing with someone, Christians should be prosperous, that Dr. Well would done. There was lots of error in that. Even Dr. Well was said that himself. You know, so, but now we got the right practice of this administration of giving and receiving, then all of us can really flourish and grow. And then God wants to take it to the next level. Once we got through that part and start to understand the giving, then the healings, then the signs, then the miracles, then the wonders, then the 8 labors being added. And that's the pattern that I've seen in India and Nepal. And I've seen them when they began. You know, no one could tell me any different. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've tasted it. And I've seen the great, wonderful hearts. Now, all these guys are led by God. They're connected to a leader. And those leaders encourage them to walk with God. And I'm encouraging all of you. You walk with God. Start speaking what's in your heart. Start speaking the good things. Start practicing these things truly from a genuine heart. And I know there are people are, and I know there's people that are not, because they don't see it yet. But it's only through you beginning. You begin, and then you just say, okay, God, I want to see these things happen. I want to see these things work. And people are proving God in the era of finances. People are proving God in the era of renewing their mind. Their whole lives are changing. They're being transformed. And this is what God wants us to have. Transformation. Powerful transformation in our life. That we're not staying as we are. We're not staying in the old life, the poverty mindset. We're not staying with the low life thinking. Because God's given us a high level of thinking. We're posh. We're spiritually posh now. You know, like, you know, we're not the down and outs. In other words, if you think of yourself, well, like for me, I come from a background. My mum was a drug dealer and we lived in squats. In other words, a squat is a house that's been broken into and illegally lived in. That's how I was raised. My mind is not there. I think it's disgusting living. I was brought up in it. I know what it all brings there. You know, the whole life, the 1970 lifestyles would live there. The violence, the sex, the drugs, the rock and roll. All of it. I was raised in that stuff, but I'm not like that because I didn't want it. I always knew it was right. It wasn't never right in my heart. The things that I seen and how it affected my brothers and sisters' life. They all got into the drugs and stuff, you know. Thankfully, they're all born again now. And so was my mum. She become born again. And that was through me and Kim standing, but it's because of God. And, so the point is, I never want to know that life. It's a down and out life. Now, my old carnal mind, I could go back to that, couldn't I? And get comfortable there. It wouldn't take long to do it. If I started letting those people back in my life, that kind of environment. But no, God's given me a high standard of living. You know, and he wants us to come up and up in our standard of living. He wants us to come up and up in our standard of thinking and speaking and giving. You know, and if you want more, then give more. Because that's the law. Seed time and harvest. What a man soweth, that shall he reap. God is not mocked. And so these things are just so wonderful truths. And I'm thankful that I've learned to see these things when I went to India. Sangate is a fantastic, I'm not trying to blow anyone up anyone's ass, right? Sangate is a fantastic proper man of God. A proper man of God. Not someone that we see someone that's very educated can speak when we call him a man of God. I'm on about this man has actually put his faith to work with God, trusted God, and he spoke from the Spirit of God, recognizing when God showed him to speak by the Spirit, instead of doing it the traditional way, then everything changed, everything took off. It took some balls to do that, because everyone was a biblical researcher. And as soon as he started to encourage this, everyone turned their backs. But God continued to prosper because he stayed steadfast with what God told him to do. And this is what I'm doing. I'm doing what God's telling me to do. And I know some of the things I can say are challenging. And, you know, perhaps I'm not very articulate and graceful in some of the way I say the things. But at the end of the day, I am who I am by the grace of God. And you'll get it from me as God works me to say it. So, you know, really, you are all doing fantastic. But God says, raise your standards. Raise your standard of giving and you'll raise your standard of living. Raise your standard of thinking and then you'll change your whole environment and circle. And God will bring those labourers to you. God really will bring those labourers to you. You know, if you really desire it and you want it, you're not just praying it because we say pray for the labourers and Jesus said pray for the labourers. I want that. If Jesus said that, I want that. Oh, this is the way to get the labourers, that God's going to throw them out to me. Father, give me that labourer. I really desire that one key labourer. I just want to, today was the first time I actually felt good enough to actually sit down and start writing my goals, vision and desires from 2025. Because I've already got goals and desires. And I was sharing with a few different people how God showed me, you know, God said to me, how much do you want to give? And I never told amounts. I told a couple of people the amount so I could give them an example. And then how much did I want to receive? And God gave me that in double. And so it's very beneficial. I don't care what anyone says. This is very beneficial to write your vision and make it plain. Because that, like it says in Habakkuk 2:2-4, write the vision and make it plain that he that reads it, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. So that's the scripture I got there. And the other scripture is Matthew 7:7. You know, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it should be open unto you. So really, whatever your desire is, and I pray and I said, Father, put in my heart what my desires are. Because I don't want it to be my desires. I don't want it to be a traditional desire. I don't want it to be because of what everybody else says. But you show me what you know that I really should desire. Like sometimes I say to God, show me what to pray. And he does. I can do it in speaking in tongues, but he can also show you through your mind, right? What to pray. You can put it on your heart big time. And then so I just started to give an example. I just want to read just a little example of it. I mean, I've done, what's it, 4 pages of it, A4 pages. And I just started off goals, visions and desires from 2025. And I'm sharing this with a desire that excites someone to do the same. So my ministry to really take off like never before in all good areas. Laborers, many ready-made fruitful fields, the very best top quality laborers available from all over the world to begin to connect. Laborers that each one is equal to a billion, that each of those laborers are equal to a billion. Just like that one seed is equal to many seeds, right? Each one are humble and meek and receive the words gladly and do it faithfully with their heart unto God. Showing the utmost respect also to God and also to me as their minister and point of contact in the earth as God's minister to them. Laborers that are loyal to God and their connection with me. Reliable, steadfast, unmovable laborers who are walking by the Spirit of God. Beginning their own fellowships and that they are fruitful with top quality laborers. And each laborers are connected to them and us and in our focus, right? And are fully focused and not distracted by the things of this world. That God's momentum is with each one and collectively together. That each one is walking with God with great joy. With signs, miracles and wonders following them. With godly fruit being produced in them and outside of them. That each one is unmovable. Unmovable from the force of this world or any other religion or non-religious traditions of men. That one is unhindered and unstoppable because God is with them and with us. The manifestation of the great outreach starting in UK, Europe and USA and any other country God has given for me, for my fields, and his before ordained works for me and for them. And then it goes on and on and on. And it just flooded. Yeah. When I asked God what my desire was, it flooded out of me. I just started typing and it flooded. The thoughts and ideas come from him. I could carry on reading there and there's lots of great stuff and it was from God and I know it wasn't from me. I don't write like that. I'm not so clever in the carnal world to do that, right? But when God is inspiring, he's the best educator in the world. He can give you a PhD within 1 week, you know, or in 1 day even. You know, through that Spirit of God, he's the one that educates us. We're getting the education of heaven so that the kingdom of God is lived out in this earth through us. So, you know, we got so many things to be excited. This is going to be an amazing year. We may have started off from Christmas with these colds, flus and bird flu and everything like that. It kind of wiped us out a bit. But, you know, I didn't stop doing my Zoom fellowship because I had a commitment to my God. And he kept me sustained and he kept me blessed when I didn't feel like doing it. When I didn't feel like connecting, I still done it. When I didn't feel like doing the one-on-ones, I done it every day because I love doing it. It wasn't out of religious duty. You understand? Like, my heart is so much for God. It's so much for everyone on here to be very successful. You need to take yourself seriously. If I'm taking you seriously, if God's taking you seriously, take yourself seriously. You are world shakers. You are world movers. You are the top quality laborers. You're the ones, guys. You gotta, when you start believing that about yourself, then it starts to come into manifestation in your life. That's why God wants you to up your standard. He wants you to upgrade your thinking through the heavenly words. This is why I'm probably speaking in the manner I am. Whether this challenges you or not, it doesn't make no difference to me because I'm speaking what God's put in my heart to speak. And we have to be bold and clear on what God is putting in our hearts to speak and to speak those words, whether people like it or not. Because we're doing God's business. You know, do you think the prophets would walk into a town? Oh, you know, please don't stone me, but I'm giving you a message from God and you need to repent. You need to change. No, they went in there boldly, you know, and they spoke and they delivered the message that God wanted to deliver. Jonah, he didn't want to go into the city and tell them, did he? But God still worked it that he went in there and told them. So guys, you are very powerful. You know, we are as Christ. Each one of us is as Christ. We are world changers, guys. And so you don't have to, if you're not happy with how your life is right now, have a little think about it. You might be blessed in certain areas, but have you got your desires yet in how you want to live and how you want to do things? Because I'm telling you, if it's still a desire in there, that's what God wants for you. And he's showing you right now how to get it, what to do, what to speak, what to say, what to sow. That's how you get it. And you keep the desire in front of you. And you go after it like a pit bull on a bone. And you don't let go of your dreams, goals and desires that God put in your heart. Satan will try and bring lots of different things in to distract you off. But you stay steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Moving by the Holy Spirit of God. That's how you're really going to be productive. Is being led by the Spirit of God. And to be joyful. I'm being serious right now. But God wants us to be joyful. He wants us to enjoy every day. He wants you to enjoy waking up in the morning. He wants you to have a smile on your face, not looking like a wet fish and miserable. He wants you to wake up with a big grin on your face. You know, like this. I'll give you an example. Good morning. This is me. Like joy, you know, a bit of joy coming from the heart through the face. What you wear in your heart, you wear on your face, right? So God wants us to be joyful, even if you don't feel like it. He wants you to be happy and joyful. And you don't listen to negative things that people say about you. Because you are beautiful. You are everything God says you are. But no matter what anybody else says, are they saying anything contrary to it? We take no notice. If they're not saying that you're the beloved, that you're highly successful, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you are righteous, you are justified, you are sanctified, you are redeemed, you got the words of ministry of reconciliation, you are the beloved, you are ruling and reigning in this life by one Jesus Christ, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Don't take no notice of them. We shouldn't be offended because I think sometimes we can get offended because of what people say or the manner they say it. But why? If we're walking by the Spirit, those things will not offend us. They really won't offend us. That will we walk in love. If you want to walk in power and strength, you've got to walk in love. And you've got the love of God ruling and reigning in your heart. And so we let go of the things of behind and say, Father, you lead the way, I follow. I'm ready to do now. I'm ready to go. But we've got to leave all this kind of different doctrines of what other people have said to us and start doing what God tells us to do. Anyway, that's what's in my heart, guys. God bless your heart.